We're nearing the end of the Christmas season. Today's for Saturday, and so we honor Our Lady. Tomorrow is Epiphany. Monday is the Feast of the Baptism of the Lord, which is the last day of the season. And then for us who are in Metro Manila, Tuesday is the Feast of the Black Nazarene. And they say they're expecting more than 2 million people to gather for the procession, so you can't ignore that religious phenomena. So, but that's not officially in the Christmas season. In fact, it seems more like a Lenten devotion, but it falls on January 9th. Okay, so if you get this sense that a lot of things are being condensed or rushed, it's true. It's true. A lot gets compressed at the end of the Christmas season. It's not only because this year the Feast of the Baptism comes right after the Epiphany. That happens once in a while. But even if there were a week between the Epiphany and the Baptism, it's still compressed because the Baptism takes place 30 years after the Epiphany, and it gets placed side by side in the Christmas season. So you get this sense that the Church is deliberately holding together some things that we might not think are that closely connected. You know, our tendency when it comes to Christmas is to think about just the birth of Jesus, and the Church's approach to Christmas is no. Yes, it's the birth of Jesus, of course, it's His birthday, but it's the revelation of God in the world. It's the revelation of God made flesh who has come to save us. So His birthday is not the only thing we focus on during the Christmas season. We focus on his revealing of Himself. In fact, Epiphany means revelation, right? Or manifestation. So that's the whole point. God didn't just come to be born. He came so that we would know Him. He came so that He can save us and we can be united with the Father. So it's much bigger than we tend to think. And you get this sense at this time of year that the Church is making sure we don't limit our Christmas just to the baby in the manger. I said yesterday, we're like the Magi approaching the day of finally encountering the Lord. That sense can be a guide for us today as well, last day before Epiphany. And we know how the Magi made their journey from a distant place, a pagan place. They were drawn by the star. They made a journey of faith, and it drew them to the Holy Land, to the chosen people, which led them to the Scriptures. Remember, they got to Jerusalem, and Herod said, well, what's the story here? And they said, well, you have to go to Bethlehem. So they went from Jerusalem to Bethlehem. They went to Bethlehem. They encountered the Holy Family, and then they found Jesus with His mother Mary. We'll hear that in tomorrow's Gospel. The Magi find Jesus in the arms of Mary. That's where we find Jesus. That's why on First Saturday, it's right that we honor Mary, because Mary is the one through whom Jesus comes to us and the one through whom we come to Him. So every First Saturday we honor Mary, but it's very fitting in the Christmas season to keep our awareness of Mary's vital role in our encounter with Jesus. Now, there's a lot happening here. At this time of year, you might notice in the liturgy a placing side by side of not only the birth of Jesus, but also the arrival of the Magi and the revelation of the Word made flesh to the Gentiles, represented by the Magi, and then the baptism, which is a revelation of God in the waters of creation. In fact, it's a revelation not only of the Son, but of the Father and of the Holy Spirit. We'll see this on Monday, but it was in the Gospel I just read. It is Mark's account of the baptism, and we're going to hear this again on Monday. So you see what the Church is focusing on. And then, in addition to those mysteries, the birth, the arrival of the Magi, the baptism, the Church often puts together with these the first sign Jesus performs, which is the transformation of the water into wine in Cana, the wedding feast, which, as I say, this might not seem so connected, But this is another revelation, another epiphany. In today's readings, there is a striking emphasis on the Holy Spirit. So I'd like to focus for right now on the Holy Spirit. It's a good way for us to broaden our focus during Christmas and during the Feast of Epiphany and the baptism. The Holy Spirit is always at work. But the Holy Spirit is at the center of the revelation that we're celebrating. Now, those of you who are here on Thursday for the formation might remember that Pope Francis gave a very strong encouragement to keep up our dialogue with the Holy Spirit. We were part of our series on discernment, and we're studying the talks of Pope Francis on discernment. But anyway, in the talk that we read on Thursday, we had this section where he spoke about you can't do discernment without the Holy Spirit. You can't know the will of God without the enlightenment that comes from the Holy Spirit. This is what he said in his talk. This reminds us of another great help, the gift of the Holy Spirit, who is present in us and who instructs us, makes the word of God that we read come alive, suggests new meanings, opens doors that seem closed, indicates paths in life where there seem to be only darkness and confusion. This is all the work of the Holy Spirit. And then he says, be sure to pray to the Holy Spirit. We pray to the Father. When we pray to our Father, we speak to Jesus. He's our Savior and our brother. But he says, be sure to keep up the dialogue with the Holy Spirit. He says here, the Holy Spirit is the one who gives life to the soul. Let him enter. Speak with the Holy Spirit, just like you speak with the Father, like you speak with the Son. Speak with the Holy Spirit. The church's strength is in him. Strength of the Spirit. He is the one who leads you forward. The Holy Spirit is discernment in action, the presence of God in us. He is the gift, the greatest gift the Father assures to those who ask. And what did Jesus call him? The gift. Quoting Jesus after the resurrection, he says, remain in Jerusalem and wait for the gift of God, meaning the Holy Spirit. So that was the Pope. But in these readings, notice what we have. This is the story of the baptism. Jesus enters the water. Actually, before that even happens, John the Baptist says, I baptize you with water. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. Water and the Spirit comes up in the first reading too. Then at the baptism itself, when John baptizes Jesus and Jesus is coming up out of the water, what happens? The heavens are torn open. Sounds kind of violent, but that's what it is. It's a revelation. Torn open, and the Spirit like a dove descends on him. And then we hear the voice of the Father. So it's a revelation of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. But our focus right now is the Holy Spirit. In the first reading, this is near the end of the first letter of St. John, he speaks a lot about the Holy Spirit. And he puts these three things together which sound a little mysterious to us. The testimony of the water, the blood, and the Spirit. Jesus came through water and blood, not by water only, obviously referring to the baptism, but by water and blood, meaning his passion. And the Spirit is the one who testifies, and the Spirit is truth. So there are three that testify. This is exactly what John says. The Spirit, the water, and the blood, and the three are of one accord. This is divine testimony. He says, you accept human testimony, well, divine testimony is much better, more, is greater. Okay, the water we'll see on Monday. Jesus baptized, and it was in today's gospel. The blood, well, that's what we'll see on Tuesday. If you have any devotion to the Black Nazarene, that's the passion. Celebration of the power of the passion and the gift of the passion, the sacrifice of Christ for us. And then the Spirit, which we'll see also on Monday. What is this supposed to tell us? Well, our journey of faith is a journey to God, a journey with God, a journey under the guidance of God. We're journeying through a dark land, like the Magi. Well, we're journeying in a troubled country where there's division, there's violence. Just have to look at pictures of Gaza if you want to know where we are. We're in a world of division and violence. But we are not stumbling around in the dark. We have divine guidance, divine light. Faith, the star represents faith, and the power of the Holy Spirit. So as we encounter Jesus in the water, as we encounter Jesus in his passion and resurrection, we are guided by the Holy Spirit, which should give us confidence. Jesus, when he was born, he didn't simply come into a Disneyland. You know, he didn't come on a vacation to relax. He came to sacrifice himself for us. And the Holy Spirit is the one who gives us the strength to follow this way when we encounter darkness or difficulty. So this is what this latter part of Christmas is emphasizing for us. The gift of Christmas is connected to the gift of baptism, and baptism is for us the opening of a whole new journey of faith. On this first Saturday, we ask Mary to open the way for us, to lead us to her Son, and to show us how to follow the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Mary's the woman of the Spirit. She was overshadowed by the Holy Spirit, protected by the Holy Spirit, and she's the example for us of how to respond to divine inspiration. So with all of that, I say that's a lot of condensed thought, but it's important to keep these things in mind as we journey through the next few days on our journey of faith.